Welcome to Generation Now, the show by and for millennials and Gen Z. I'm your host, Troy McDonald. This is WGTD HD. Thank you so much for joining us on a portion of your Saturday. I have a very interesting and exciting guest who I've had the privilege of knowing over the last, few years already, who is just coming off of a really remarkable experience. At 21 years old, he ran for school board, one of the youngest people ever to do so in our community. And although he was unsuccessful in his bid, it's still a fascinating subject to kind of delve into about why someone from Gen Z would even want to assume that role. And so I'm so pleased and honored to have him here today. Please welcome John Bush to the program. John, how you doing?
I'm good. Well, first of all, may I say it's been an honor and privilege to get to know you over the last few years and to be here with you today on Generation Now. So thank you for having me, Troy.
So let's talk about your decision to run for school board. Let's just start there, right? There is no, or at least very few examples of young people assuming those roles. What made you think that you could do that? And was there kind of a certain instance or itch, or how did that come about?
Well, I saw in some capacity that the times have changed drastically in the last year, and that we needed to be more open to ideas that we may have not have heard before. And I saw in our youth and in my peers fear, but also curiosity. And I think that inspired me to try to make a bid for that seat that was opened and left by Dan Wade.
Right. There was something interesting that you said during your question period, which we'll get to in a minute, but I think it ties into your opening answer there, which is because of how young you are, you have a connection to students and their experiences that other people just simply don't have. Did that play a part in kind of your decision making as well?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as a recent graduate of Kenosha Unified School District, I absolutely do see some of the disparities between what the adults who aren't in the schools may not be aware of and what is being portrayed as what is happening in the schools. So absolutely, you know, I hear students all the time and talk to students all the time and informed of things that probably most people on the board may never hear.
Right. I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there a certain example where you've heard from students? You don't have to put them on blast, but the specific students, but was there like a situation where you're like, wow, they're getting this like wrong? Like, this is not how it's actually happening on the ground.
Yeah, I think I recall a couple of situations that occurred at one of our local high schools. And for a lot of the students and talking to them, a lot of them were pointing at mental health. And I think that they were right. And they saw in the classrooms with their peers the struggles of trying to balance this new world of modern technology and communication like it's never existed before, and the weight of growing up and having to struggle through school and make mistakes. And I was really moved by what one particular student told me in that context. So yes, absolutely.
So we unfortunately, you know, Dan Wade had to step down due to health reasons. So you see that notification pop up on your phone or online. Did you know immediately that you were going to apply for that position?
Yes, I did. I had told myself, I was fortunate enough to work with Todd Allen Price on his campaign and successful bid for office in the spring. And I had told myself that if I didn't run with him, I would run the next time there was a seat open. And so I followed through on my personal commitment as well as my commitment to the community. And so I when I saw that Dan Wade had stepped down, I said, well, I told myself I had promised I would do this. And so I did.
There wasn't a moment of hesitation or like, the fear of like not seeing examples of people your age in those spaces. There was no hesitation. Like if I were in your shoes, I would be like, holy moly, this is this big institution. Oh. And I'm little old me who's 21 or whatever, right? Entering, well, I'm not 21 no more, but when I was, right, I would have been nervous about that. Nothing like that for you?
You know, I've been very fortunate and very, very, very fortunate that I've had the opportunity through my childhood and becoming a teenager to get to know a lot of our community members that are involved in school politics as well as the business community. And so I think that afforded me some courage that maybe others don't have just because of the reality that I was familiar with these faces. This wasn't, there wasn't that dichotomy between me being this 21-year-old and them being the big scary business person who's super successful.
Right. So you had already been swimming in those waters. So yes. it wasn't new.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I found that was so poignant was, so you see this appointment, you rush in and apply, was your letter that was so emotional, and you posted it on your social media that really talked about your journey to finding yourself and your hope that you would be able to help other students find their way. Could you talk about the process of coming up with that letter and drafting that?
Absolutely. So I think the important part is finding yourself is a lifelong journey. And I looked at my own life, and for those of you that don't know, I was adopted from Ukraine. I had some struggles with that and some other mental health things that were going on in my own personal life, as well as a bout of homelessness subsequently to an incident with my own family. And it really dawned on me then that as much as horrible as these things are and scary as these things are, that we have to confront them and we have to be vulnerable with ourselves and with the people that we trust so we can move past it and grow from it. And I wanted to in some ways conceptualize that and put it into writing in a way that describes just how vulnerable and open our students are and how adaptable they are and why we need to empower their voices and uplift their ideas. And we discovered that in that letter in some capacity with I chose to use some words from Stephen Sondheim, who wrote a musical called Into the Woods. And the premise of that show was the notion that you're getting through life's journey, you're trying to make ends meet, but at some points there are struggles that come along the way when you're going into the woods to grandmother's house. And how do you deal with those struggles? And that is what we can learn from the arts, that is what we can learn from each other if we open ourselves up to being vulnerable. So that's where that letter came from.
And that's one of the reasons why I think we connected was the ability to be vulnerable. And I a couple of years ago before COVID, I had the honor of speaking at Lincoln Middle School to a group of kids. And one of the teacher, and I shared my experience of also being homeless and, you know, just how fragile life is and in that position. Terrible. And so it's terrible. And so I was speaking to this class, and the teacher came up to me afterwards and said, there are three kids, middle school kids, in this classroom who are homeless right now or insecure about their living situation. And they said they've never seen anybody, especially as a person of color, come in a suit or tie, dressed night, you know, and saying that they had also been through this ordeal. Yeah. And that is so powerful. And I think KUSD, when I was a student, I was not homeless while I was in KUSD, but like I can only imagine that how many thousands of kids in the district who are maybe not homeless, but they're insecure about their living situation, whether rent's going to be paid, and whether the mortgage will be paid, and how powerful that was for you to share your experience.
And, you know, you look at exactly right, is our students are going through struggles in the house in their extended family, even in their own lives. I mean, let's look at last year. We got the data report that there's a 51% increase in teenage girls attempting to commit suicide. I mean, we're seeing things that we've never had to really deal with before. And I was moved by Stephen Sondheim's choice of Children Will Listen. And the tale we tell is the spell, because children do see, they do see what's happening in the classroom, and they're aware of the struggles that are surrounding them as they're growing up. And how we talk about those things with them and how we learn from them, that's where I certainly could see improvement in.
So when I was growing up, and maybe this is, I don't think it's just a Black thing, but like, you're told, don't share that about your family. Like, don't let that out. Like, keep that close to the vest. Was there apprehension in sharing that part of your story in your letter?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, and I look at my parents and my family, there is, of course, it's a scary thing to say that humans fail. But as I wrote in the letter, is failure and weakness bind humanity to humility. And in our ability to recognize that everybody in some capacity has weaknesses and everybody in some capacity has failure, but the ability to grow together from that is where we see wonderful things happen.
Let the church say amen. Okay. On that, no, absolutely incredible. That's so true. So you work on that letter, you submit that letter. There was a little bit of a waiting period. Was there ever doubt between, what was it? I think it was a week, right? Between mm-hmm. when you submitted the letter and the day. Was there any doubt, any conversations with people that were like, sure, why'd you say that? Or anything like that in that letter?
Sure. You know, to be quite honest, I mean, I was really, really excited to see that there was so many candidates. You know, I was quite moved by our community in the sense that they didn't attempt to dissuade anyone from making an attempt to get involved. And I think we need to keep that. But at the same time, I think the board was going into this special appointment, having to reckon with a lot of things. And I'm sure that talking to the community, we recognized what type of leader we needed in this moment, be it so ever pertinent. And certainly in discussions I've had with few people, there is the alarming concern of my age or lack of experience in the minds of some. But I think experience and wisdom come from bad experience and the things that are unfortunate in your life. And in that way, I've been humbled by some of the comments that have been made that are very positive towards me running. And so I've been moved by the community and how they've responded to this.
Yeah, that was interesting, because I remember going through your Facebook, you know, where you had posted the letter, and really the positive comments, the, like you said, support that you received was really moving, because you're right. A lot of people say, oh, he's 21. Why is he even attempting to do this? But no, it was like a really supportive thing of getting out there. And you did that. You got out there and got involved.
Right. And I think my goal, be it may, was to truly at least open some of the ears of people in our community to how important listening is, and to actively listen, and to really understand the power of language and the tone we use, the stories we tell through rhetoric or persuasion, and because those things do play a role on how things are perceived. And that, you know, looking at the board, we're going to have to tackle some really difficult issues. And you want to be constantly aware of, are you empathizing with the person whose concerns are being brought to the table? Are you showing that interest in a way that makes that other people feel vulnerable enough to share that idea that you really wanted to hear from the beginning? And so we don't want to turn that off and turn that away from people. We want to make them feel even more welcome to the table and to the discussion. And everybody, students, teachers, staff, families, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Generation Now on WGTD HD. I'm Troy McDonald. Today, I am joined by John Bush, who ran for school board for the open seat that was left by Dan Wade, who stepped down due to health reasons, although he was unsuccessful. He really did create a conversation in the community at just 21 years old, vying for that position. So, John, talk about the day where you have to go, the process, right? So this is an appointment. This is not an election, for those who don't know. This is not like something you're campaigning for. You have to answer questions in front of the board. So talk about getting ready for that day when you had to speak your truth and answer those questions.
To be honest, so you had asked previously in our discussion about, was there ever a moment where I hesitated? And if that was ever a time, it was the day of. There's a lot of nerves that go around this concept of running for office. And I think the weight of the responsibility really hit me in a very personal way on the day of the appointment hearings and the interviews. When I got up in that morning, particularly, I sat outside and I read the newspaper, and I sat there thinking, well, either tonight I'm going to be elected to office, or I'm going to at least have made my voice known in a very personal and vulnerable way. And that hit home. It hit home very quick.
Hmm. And so what was your preparation like, you know, getting all of that put together? Did you go in saying, no, I have an answer for, because you didn't know the questions right ahead of time.
No, I didn't.
So did you have like a plan? Well, if they ask this, then I'll answer this way. Or how did you go about the actual substance preparing for that of the questions?
Well, certainly a lot of research was in play to run for the seat. Quite frankly, I've been researching education topics now for quite a few months, thanks to Todd Allen Price and other people. And, you know, that research gave me kind of a good grasp of where the topic of discussion might be at, with looking at former agendas, meeting agendas, as well as some of the meetings, videos that are online, and really listening to both our community and to our school board, and seeing where the common ground is. And that's where I figured the questions would be pointed towards.
Was there a moment during the presentation, the questions that you were being asked, where you kind of knew that you were hitting your stride, that you were touching a nerve?
I think the last two questions, I think when I got a little bit more personal with the board, that obviously was that moment of truth, that empowerment that somebody seeks. And for me, that was, I would say, a seminal moment. I don't think I will ever forget that moment of openly saying, I've been through horrible things, and I've learned from it, and that's okay. It's okay to fail. I would also say there were questions I wasn't at my best at and prepared for, and it left me in a moment of reflection. Certainly the question as far as funding goes from COVID relief, you know, I knew what it was, but for some reason, like lots of people, I had a moment where I went, well, apparently I don't know it now.
So. Right. And that happens all the time, right? Like that is a very human thing.
We have to talk about it. That's a human thing, and that happens. And so I want students to know if that does happen, that's okay. That's okay.
Mm. There are so many kids, I hope, who hear that message, because whether it's a presentation for a class project or vying for a school board position, that moment of, oh my gosh, something just left my mind happens all the time. Hell, it's happened to me on this very program. And yeah. I don't even edit it out at this point, because it's like, well, you're here on this experience anyway. So
it's the stepping stones to that last question where I could be truthful and be vulnerable. So, and you know, I tell students all the time is, you may have to get through the difficult things to find the pot of gold at the end. It's the journey.
Mm-mm. That is so true. So we now know that you were not selected. Atifa Robinson is the new school board member who will fill Dan Wade's seat. While you were waiting for the results and the tallies, after everyone answered questions and you were waiting for the tallies, and you found out that Atifa would be the next school board member, what went through your head?
Relief. You know, the board is in a position where they're going to be having difficult conversations about the future of diversity, equity, and inclusion in our schools. And I think it weighed on them that there needs to be somebody who's directly affected by these issues beyond Yolanda Adams. She obviously plays an important role too, but I think when we see Atifa, she can relate. And I think the other thing that Atifa was brilliant at is she has a pragmatic approach to her view on politics. And quite frankly, that's important because this is a nonpartisan seat.
Right. And that's something that I think is lost on some people in the community. Sure. I'm not going to name names, but we know who they are. So I know that education policy is very important to you. You mentioned some of the things that the school board is going to have to take up going forward, as you will now be on the outside, but still advocating for issues. What are some things that you would like to see the school board do as they move forward?
Well, obviously in the upcoming year, we're going to be talking about what we're going to spend the COVID relief money on. And the dominant factor in spending costs should be for learning losses that were in procured throughout COVID. That being said too, is I think when we look at learning loss, it's not just as simple as curriculum, it's not just as simple as more sports activities, but also enrichment in the arts, as well as looking at new ideas like mental health and therapy opportunities for students that might be struggling with mental health. And when we see mental health being addressed, we can see productivity rates go up and we can see the workplace functionality is improved. So I think they're going to be tackling that.
And what I think is refreshing, yeah, just in politics is your approach here, just as like an observer, as someone who's very pessimistic about the system, for you to be on the radio, for you to say, you know what, like, I believe they are going to tackle those things, and wishing Atifa well and believing that her representation is important on the board. Where did that come from? This is like going back in the conversation, but where did that kind of humility come from? Was it failure? Was it things that you've gone through? Was it instilled in you as a young person?
Me personally?
Yes.
I think my experiences, I've been afflicted with Lyme disease, which I had to go through, and it changed my life. And at points during that, you realized just how precious life is and just how every bad situation can turn into a good situation if you choose to make it that. And I think certainly then hearing stories, you know, the stories that people have told me in the last 2 years, whether it be in Indonesia as an exchange student, whether it be me at the Shalom Center as a homeless person, I heard stories that were remarkable. And they were one that spoke to grit and strength and resiliency. And they looked to a personality that is open to new ideas and new faces and fresh stories to hear. And I think that in some capacity, even as a younger person, I was probably quite more closed off to hearing those types of stories and those different lifestyles and cultures and how that's affected their lives.
And to bring this full circle, you are now a student at Carthage, studying, what is it, political science, I believe, is your major. What has that been like? That, I mean, coming from where you've been, struggling with Lyme disease and everything else, and now getting your education and, you know, thinking about your future in a way that maybe just a few years ago, maybe it wasn't so clear, right? Yeah. And now there is a path for your success. What does that feel like?
Well, I think that's another reason why I ran, is I see just how important that I ended up here. This was the destination. The journey was not easy, but the destination is worth the journey. And now that I'm here, I can reckon with the reality that I was very fortunate that I was able to get myself out of the situations I was in and into a situation that opens doors for me to new people, to new ideas, and to a future that is sustainable for living in the 21st century in America.
I want to talk about something too that I think is really interesting, that has really been, I don't know if it's a new mission, but just your ability to really respect all people and reach out to many different sides of the aisle, which is very uncommon right now. Mm-hmm. Some people are stuck in their tribes. How did that come about for you to realize, hey, I'm going to be willing to work with everyone in my political career?
Because at the end of the day, we're all humans. We're not born Democrat or Republican, we're humans. And I think that if you remember that, we all share similar goals. We want to live comfortable lives in safe cities and enjoy and make memories with loved ones. And when we remember that, we're able to open ourselves to hearing things that we may not completely understand because we've never been in that situation. But when we're truly listening, there's a sliver of truth that is exposed in those stories, and they inspire me, and they cause me to question my own convictions. And I think that is something that needs to be perhaps done more, is we need to challenge our own convictions and we need to challenge the status quo of what we think we are as an individual.
So as we wind down here on the program, what's next for you, right? What do you see for yourself now?
Well, right now I'm in the process of working on starting a company with the technical theater director down at Millikan University. We centered around design work and marketing strategies for companies and for theaters. Beyond that, obviously education. I'm doing some political consultant work and some study work as well. But I want to be able to, at some point, it might be in the near future, I don't know, I want to be able to run again, and I want to actually be elected by the people. I think that was something I haven't truly gone through yet, but I think that hearing the stories of our community members by running, it gives me better insight into the struggles that are shared in our community, whether that be around school issues or whether that be around other issues. I think that experience is it just can't be replaced.
Final question for the program today.
Yeah.
If you could go back and say anything to the John Bush who was at the Shalom Center about where you are right now, coming off of the school board appointment attempt and your education at Carthage and the beginning of a new company, what would you say to that, John?
I would say that's incredible, but I would also say to my younger self, be patient. I think that even I struggle with that, is there's a certain impatient fervor that I have for getting things now. And I would look back and say, be patient.
Thank you so much, John. I sincerely appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. This has been Generation Now on WGTD HD. This program will be archived on our website, WGTD.org. Until next time, bye, everybody. This is WGTD, You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in South